Hey! Yeah, you, listening. I know, you're here for a podcast, right? But let's be honest. You want to go buy some new toys. Yeah, you do. You just got paid. You got money burning a hole through your pocket. And you want to add some new toys to your toy shelves. Hey, I don't blame you, man. I know exactly the feeling. And you know where I go when I want to add something new to my collection? Well, that's NerdRageToys.com. Why do I go to NerdRageToys.com? Man, let me tell you all about it. NerdRageToys.com has an amazing selection of both vintage and new action figures that you could be buying right now to add to your collection. Are you looking forward to new stuff coming out? Stuff from Batman Arkham Origins video game? Yeah, that's right, NerdRageToys has those on pre-order right now. How about the new SH Figuarts Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the Black Ranger, the Blue Ranger, the Yellow Ranger? Or maybe you want a new Legacy Dragonzord to add to your collection. All of those, as well as many other toys, including Marvel Universe, Marvel Legends, Voltron, tons of great stuff, are available for pre-order right now over at Nerd Rage Toys. But it's not just the new stuff that they carry. Oh no. They have an amazing selection of vintage toys as well. Man, they've got stuff from Silverhawks. You guys remember Silverhawks? How about Toxic Crusaders? I love the Toxic Crusaders line. What about some of the classic Toy Biz X-Men figures? Or Masters of the Universe? Or Mask? Or Ghostbusters? All of that stuff is available right now over at NerdRageToys.com. So, while you're listening to this podcast, why not do a little bit of internet shopping as well? Just head on over to www.NerdRageToys.com or click the link in the description for this podcast. That's NerdRageToys.com.
Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geekeasy.
All right, gang, welcome back to another installment of the Geekeasy podcast. As always, my name is Pixel Dan, and I am joined once again by my good buddy and co-host, Jonathan Leonard.
Hey, howdy, Internet.
What's going on, John?
Not a whole lot, just lots and lots and lots of movie stuff.
Lots and lots of movie stuff. The last episode, we focused completely on the Royal Rumble, and of course, as it goes, like, we recorded that episode, and within days of us recording it, all this ridiculous movie news started breaking.
Yeah,
and that's after the stuff that had already broken before that one that we didn't even talk about.
Yeah, because there was a couple things that happened right before, and we were like, well, that's okay, we can wait 2 weeks to talk about it, it's not a big deal, and then so we held off, and then we did the wrestling one, which was awesome and a ton of fun, and I hope you guys all enjoyed it. But then as soon as we do that, boom.
Yeah.
Movie news and movie news and movie news.
Like, we were getting ready to post. I think we were a day away from posting the episode, and that's when the news broke, and all of a sudden, like, I'm getting people messaging me and you know, on Twitter and on email and stuff. They're like, oh, I can't wait to hear what you guys are going to say about this. And I'm like, ah, crap.
You know? I already forgot what they were asking about, so we probably won't even talk about it.
Now, the big news.
I know what they were
the
talking
big
about.
News is definitely going to get touched on this week. Actually, why don't we go and just start with it? We'll just open right
why not?
With it. Might as well, because I know this is what everybody wants to hear our thoughts on. The big news coming out of the past week or two here is that the newest castings have been announced for Superman versus Batman. That is that Jesse Eisenberg has been cast in the role of Lex Luthor, and Jeremy Irons has been cast in the role of Alfred.
What great casting for Alfred.
Absolutely. Yeah. I am totally stoked about Jeremy Irons as Alfred.
I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Also, I was already making jokes that I can't wait for him to motivate Batman by singing Be Prepared.
Oh. Well, now I've got to start making Simon Gruber references.
And it seems like everybody's kind of like, yeah, Jeremy Irons is a good idea for Alfred. But I think the one that really got a lot of talk was the Jesse Eisenberg announcement.
Man, I've pandered that for 10 days now, or pondered, or whatever.
Yeah,
same. I still don't even know how I feel. Like, I want to make fun of it really hard because I know it's ridiculous. But I also want to hold out some kind of weird sort of hope. I feel like if Man of Steel were a better movie, I'd be optimistic about that casting.
That is the key right there. Because, let's be honest, I like Jesse Eisenberg fine.
Exactly.
I think he's good in the stuff that I see him in. And while I can't actually picture him as Luthor, we've been surprised before.
Yeah.
It's very possible that he pulls out an amazing Luthor that fits in with this universe that they're creating.
Exactly. I mean, if they've got a cool direction, there's been plenty of casting in the past that has gone by and everybody's gone, huh, you know, like, nobody wanted to see Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Right.
And that turned out pretty stellar. You know, but it was really confusing when you announce it. Nobody can see what they're going to do, and nobody has a clue of their vision, and nobody gets it, and everything. You know, when you have a movie that works and a character that works in it, it turns out where everybody goes, hey, that turned out to be really good. And sometimes lowered expectations help that, I think.
Exactly.
But I don't have a strong enough basis going into this project to think that they know what they're doing enough for me to assume that this is going to turn out well.
That is definitely the big problem here. The fact that Man of Steel turned out the way it did has a lot to do with the fact that we don't really... That's definitely what's doing it for me, because I was just like, you see a casting like Eisenberg and you see the internet exploding about it, and all I could do is just laugh because we were already laughing at this movie.
Yeah, you know.
So it's like that just became another joke on top of the joke that's been Superman versus Batman for us.
Yeah, exactly. And let me tell you, like, I hope I'm a Superman guy. I really want what's best for this movie. I love Batman movies are usually pretty good, except for a couple of them. And I love Ben Affleck. And there's a lot of things. I love Zack Snyder. There's a lot of things going for this movie that I really want to work out. So I want everybody to remember that for the griping that I do for the next 2.5 years or however long it's going to be before it actually shows up. I want this to be good. But right now, this movie is a train wreck. Absolute train wreck. They don't know how to do anything except for make press releases. And the press releases get bigger and weirder every time, and that is not a good sign for a movie like this.
No kidding, dude. I mean, all we're getting are these, like, there's been 1,000 rumors for this movie. Like, this is one of those movies where the rumor mill has just been churning like crazy, because we've been hearing so many different names for all these different roles.
That's the thing, though, is like they don't even give time for rumors to truly gestate like they do for a lot of these movies because they're too busy making huge announcements that make nonsense.
Yeah, and didn't we find out, too, that like Gal Gadot has been signed on for like a 3 or 4 movie deal as Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
That includes like her own standalone movies?
And I think what it includes might be part of the rumor. Like, it's for sure she's got at least a 3-picture deal.
Yeah.
They're assuming that that means this movie, a Justice League, and a standalone Wonder Woman. I don't think that that part has been confirmed.
Okay, that's just what everybody's
assuming. But yeah, but if you're going to do a 3-picture deal, and that's a reasonable assumption that that's what the 3 pictures might be. It could also be 2 Justice League movies in this one.
Right.
Who knows? Also,
right.
I got a feeling that if they ask her to do 9, she'll probably do 9.
Yeah, so exactly.
They're not limited to that. but that's the thing. It's like, you'd think with the Marvel Universe, which I'll have to go back to because it's the benchmark for how this stuff is done, you hear cool rumors and you hear absurd rumors, but you never really hear any like full-on truths until there's something to say. And with most of the, DC movies, you didn't know a lot about the Batman movies as they were coming out. You didn't know a lot about Man of Steel as it was coming out. But with this movie, it's like they can't help themselves but just to fall over backwards trying to give you more information about what they're trying to do. And it seems to me that if they had a real clear vision for what they wanted to do, they'd be trying to build excitement towards that. But if they don't have a clue what they're hoping to get out of the end result here, that they'll just start hammering information out instead just to keep everybody excited. And I don't know how many more characters they can shove into this movie to make to fuel announcements over another 2.5 years.
Right.
They don't get a script ready soon and production moving in a solid direction, they're going to have 46 characters in this movie just so they can keep announcing people.
Just so they can keep everybody talking.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even.
Because now they're talking about The Rock has been dropping clues about Jon Stewart, or quote unquote clues. He said a couple of things on Twitter referencing the character, so now everybody's assuming he's going to show up because he also supposedly has had a deal in the works with DC for a long time.
Really?
Yeah. They had now a long time ago. They had talked about him. They were pretty far along into a Shazam movie that ended up fizzling out.
I remember that. He was supposed to play
Black Adam. Yeah.
Yep.
But ever since then, still, there's been talks between him and DC, and there's never any specifics or concrete information. But now, just a few days ago it was, I was reading about how he was saying some things on Twitter about how Green Lantern could still whoop Superman's butt or something like that, and it had a hashtag with Jon Stewart in there. And all. And so as soon as that happened, everybody's like, oh, The Rock's going to be in Batman and Superman 2. And I assume if that were true and signed on the dotted line, then DC would have told us over and over by now, because that's what they seem to just want to do.
No kidding, right? Just throw names out there.
But it's just more and more of that rumor mill flying. You know, I haven't heard much about Flash yet, but he's getting his own TV show, so maybe they're trying to keep that separated. But that's another thing. I hear all this talk about the moves that DC is making as far as the TV universe goes, because they got this Gotham show coming out now.
Yes.
Which they just cast the main guy for, and it was, I recognize the kid, but I don't remember who he is. But they've got that coming up. They've got Arrow that's running. That's, you know, from what I hear, a very good show. I'd like to get into that.
And
it's got a lot of cool DC tie-ins. But they're doing the Flash spinoff of that Arrow show that's going to be hitting the pilot. And I think it's already got a full season order, actually, or something like that. Or it's already been ordered two seasons, something like that. It'll be coming next year. But that's got me worried, too, is that are they going to cut out Flash from a Justice League movie so they can keep him on TV? Or are they going to try to incorporate the same TV Flash into a movie, which I think would be a mistake?
That's...
Or are they going to do the smart thing and just say, hey, world, you can handle multiple comic book storylines. Here's two different Flashes.
Here's two different things, yeah.
Which hopefully they will. But I really don't want... I'd rather see a cool Flash in movie form than on TV.
Definitely.
So, you know, what are they working towards?
Man,
you
know, they don't know what they're working towards.
Yeah. Quit giving me big casting announcements and instead give me some sort of, you know, hope and confidence
exactly.
that you're working towards something that runs.
It's just this whole thing, man. It's exactly like you said. It's been a train wreck.
Yeah.
I feel like the whole thing has been a train wreck.
I hope Eisenberg is awesome.
I hope he is, too.
I hope they got a cool idea for Luther. I'm not totally against it, but I'm going to make fun of it until I had a reason not to. You know?
He is a bit younger than I was expecting, especially since they were throwing around the rumors of Cranston being Luthor.
And
everybody
awesome.
Was getting so excited about the thought of Cranston being Luthor, and then they're like, psych, Eisenberg.
Well, and then they talked about Joaquin Phoenix for a while. Oh, but I guess I think he actually passed on it.
Oh.
I think they went to Phoenix, and Phoenix said no.
So then they went to Eisenberg?
Exactly, though.
What?
Because you know why? Because they didn't go, well, who fits our mold best next? They went, well, who's the biggest name we have next? And we'll work it out. We'll get the announcement out there real quick, and then we'll try to make the character work with him. And that's not how you make good movies.
No, that's how DC and Warner think you make good
movies.
Good grief. I don't know. It's definitely, gosh, we're going to be talking about this for some time, I'm sure. But, good news with Jeremy Irons. I'm okay
with
that.
Yeah, I think that is cool.
I think he's
going to
be a good Alfred. Look, he's already dressed as Alfred.
That's the second best news I've heard about this whole movie, and that's because I'm such a huge Affleck fan.
Affleck. Everybody else, they're like, that's the thing, dude. Everybody was up in arms about Affleck, and now everybody's up in arms about Eisenberg. Like, it's going to be funny to see how the world reacts to this movie.
Yeah, I don't know if Jeremy Irons reads the internet, but he's got to feel good about himself if he does. Because he's the only thing about this movie not being complained
exactly,
about.
Exactly. Well, and what was your fun tidbit that you wanted to share with the world?
I was reading some stuff. I came across an article about Superman Returns today that I was reading. And if you've listened to every episode of the show, you'll know what a huge Returns fan I am. I think it was an excellent Superman movie, especially for what they were going for.
Right.
Which I won't get into the whole synopsis of why, but I love Superman Returns. And I was very underwhelmed by Man of Steel. I talk like I hate it. I didn't hate it. Just didn't like it very much.
That's where I stand,
too.
That's where I stand, too.
But I always... Everybody's been downplaying Returns since, I mean, it came out in the summer of 06, and so I think since probably spring of 07, everybody's been talking like they hated it, which I always thought it was pretty well received when it first came out. It just kind of got lost in the shuffle of that winter, but I was reading something today that kind of caught my eye, and I went, well, let me go double check something here, and I went over to Rotten Tomatoes, which scores all the movies out there by critical response.
Right.
Because everybody talks so how terrible Superman Returns was and how good Man of Steel was as an upcoming Superman. And if you judge by the critical response, I noticed today that Man of Steel is sitting at a 56% on Rotten Tomatoes. 56%, which is officially rotten. Superman Returns is sitting at a 76% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
Which is certified fresh. Which is more proof positive that I understand what you're saying, Internet, but the critics disagree with you also. Which, granted, I don't always believe in critics, and I don't think they're right about everything, but I always just had this stigma that one movie was hated and the other movie was loved, and it turns out both of them weren't thought of particularly highly, but one clearly higher than the other.
Right.
It's the one I like, so eat it, Internet.
Jonathan wins. Oh, man. Well, it's going to continue to be fun to see the developments of this film. That's all I know.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk briefly, too, about some of the really fun trailers that we got just this past week with the Super Bowl. Marvel released two full-length trailers for two of their upcoming movies. Well, I guess Sony and Marvel released them. So we got a brand new trailer for Captain America the Winter Soldier and a brand new trailer for Amazing Spider-Man 2. So let's talk about those for a little bit.
Yeah, do it.
The Winter Soldier trailer. Holy cow.
I'm going to see that movie 100 times.
Oh my God, right?
100.
What? Like, I've been excited about that movie with everything we've seen so far, but that trailer right there is like, that's the money shot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that's going to get everybody into the theater to see
this movie. Yeah.
This looks amazing.
Yeah. Everything that they've promised from that movie, they're delivering with the trailers and such.
Oh my gosh. This trailer gave us everything too, you know, because those other ones were really fun getting to see Steve Rogers, you know, and especially like we particularly love like the elevator scene with Steve Rogers. But this trailer, like they threw a bunch of Black Widow in our face and showed that she's going to be badass in this movie again. I got to see some cool stuff with Fury. Definitely kind of furthering that whole, I love the storyline that they're obviously kind of furthering there with Steve Rogers kind of butting heads a little bit with S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, because he's got that whole moral dilemma thing going on.
Yep.
You know, that he's the Boy Scouts.
Yep.
And that's, I love that they're really running with that with this version of Captain America, you know, like he knows what right from wrong and he's going to stick to what he feels is right. And they're obviously playing that up real big. Lots more look at Winter Soldier in this trailer too, which, you know, they only kind of teased in the beginning, and we're getting to see a lot more of him and a lot of the stuff he can do.
Oh, yeah. They just had such cool action scenes going on.
Yeah. The scene, well, it looks like we mentioned before when we were talking about it, looks almost like they might be targeting Fury, or like, because it looks like they're trying to take down S.H.I.E.L.D., and they might be targeting Fury because there's a scene with the bomb on the car, and the car flips, and it's Fury's car.
And it's the Winter Soldier going after him with he's kind of coming up to the car with a machine gun, and it looks like a hit has been put out,
right?
And it's Fury in the car, you know?
Yeah,
so.
Yep.
But there looks like they're going to deliver on a lot of the political espionage stuff, because that's what movie has been billed as, a political thriller. With Captain America in it. And again,
it goes right back
to all the stuff I keep talking about how I love. I mean, they can make sequels to these movies and make totally different movies, you know?
Right, right.
Just like it looks like they're doing exactly what Thor did. Thor had the origin story, which is kind of the fish out of water. And then they had a lot of fun with that, and they move forward with the Thor sequel, and they give you this, you know, Star Wars meets Lord of the Rings, you know, action epic, which was a lot of fun. And you go back to the first Captain America, and you've kind of got that man out of time. You know, it's a World War II period piece, and just happens to have superheroes in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's a real cool story. They flash forward to present day, and now all of a sudden the whole tone. I mean, it doesn't look like the movie's going to feel like a sequel. It looks like the movie's going to feel like another movie that happens to have Captain America in it. You know?
Right,
and that's just so cool how they're moving this stuff along. The Russo brothers, who have a lot to do with Community, who, as we've talked about before, I've promised our audience that I'm going to get you into Community, and we're one season into it.
We are one season into it, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, we could technically do a Community podcast pretty soon if we wanted to.
Yeah, we could.
You know, we could do it season by season if we wanted to fill the time. But I've always been a huge fan of that show, and the Russo brothers were, you know, producers and directors on it, and the unique style they brought to that show. We just watched the first season's paintball episode, which I know. And as soon as I heard about Captain America 2 and that the Russo brothers were doing it, I went, you know, who are they? Oh, they're the Community guys. Oh, they're the paintball guys. Awesome. Because that, It just gives me a lot of hope. If they can put together something that entertaining with no budget and no real, right. you know, like, world around it, what are they going to do when they get something like this? And the trailer makes me think that they're going to deliver.
Oh, it looks so good.
How much, like, did you love that Falcon stuff?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about next. That was the total geek out moment of that trailer for me, man. Because, like, you hear him say, like, Captain America needs my help. And then they cut to that scene where you see him jut out those wings and yep. jump off the building. And you're like, oh, yes! Falcon, this is so great, you know? I think the only thing I kind of wish is that there was more red in the costume, because they totally did the all black thing with them.
Yeah,
which happens in superhero yeah. movies.
Well, and I doubt this will be the only time we ever.
That's
see
true. Like he yeah. might maybe after he adapts to, you know, actually becomes the Falcon. Maybe yeah. we see him modify the costume a bit. But
yeah.
either way, it's exciting.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And it's awesome to see him and Captain America together in a movie like that. And it's just yeah. I'm really excited. I just love seeing the character expansion in these
yep.
Marvel movies.
Yep.
You know, they're really just bringing yep. these universes together, and it's yep. so cool to see it unfold.
And we just, our friend Jacob just loaned me the Winter Soldier storyline from the Ed Brubaker storyline from the comic books, which I had never read.
Okay.
And so I read that, and I just finished it probably about a week or so before this trailer came out. And
oh,
I watched
sweet.
This trailer, and it doesn't look like they're taking it straight from the pages and putting it in movie form, because they've got to fit it into the Marvel universe they're already building.
Right.
But I can see a lot of that story in this trailer. And that's really cool to me, and especially from an adaptation purpose, because I've never been one of those guys, especially with comic books, I've never been one of those guys where you have to do it exactly the same, unless it is, you know, like Watchmen.
Right.
Watchmen's a linear
right.
story. It's,
yes.
It's got a beginning and an end. It is what it is, and I wanted that interpretation, and I got that, and that was awesome. But if you're just making a Spider-Man movie, it doesn't have to be exactly like a Spider-Man story I've already read before. You can switch some stuff up, just keep the theme proper and make it make sense and make it a decent movie. And so I don't need that whole storyline transferred over to film, because it won't make sense in this Marvel universe, but it looks like they've really captured an essence of it, in my opinion, from what I can see from the trailer and from what I just read of the book, that is really exciting me for it. Because there's a lot of cool stuff that happens in that story, too, and if I get a glimpse of some of that stuff in this movie, I'm going to be really excited. Plus, they've also, who was it? Somebody at Marvel. I can't remember who it was. One of the higher-ups at Marvel has already said pretty much flat out that Captain America 2 leads directly into the Avengers.
Oh, cool. Wow.
This is going to set up a lot of the stuff, apparently. Now, well, I'm guessing that means it's going to set up a lot of the stuff for the Avengers. Maybe it just means the after-credit sequence will be something Avengers-related.
Oh, yeah.
But I believe it means that, you know, the events from here are going to follow over and kind of build into that, which makes total sense, too, because there is another movie in between, another Marvel movie in between here and the Avengers,
yep.
but it's Guardians of the Galaxy. So it's a galaxy far, far away.
Yes.
You know, none of it should interact with any of this stuff all that closely. So if you think about it on that, it surprised me when I read it, because I went, well, that's still over a year away, and there's another movie coming out. And then I thought, well, but that movie can't lead directly into the Avengers 2.
Yeah.
It could lead into the Avengers 3.
I was going to say, that's probably yeah. going to be more to do with yeah. a third of
it. Oh,
Avengers.
And the other cool thing about the Captain America stuff. Sorry, I keep
no, that's
remembering
cool.
all
no,
this
stuff.
No,
that's fine.
They have already, the test screenings have gone so well, and Marvel's so happy with the movie that they're already in early discussions with the Russos to do a third, which
wow.
is good news on
that
a lot of fronts,
so
because
awesome.
It means, you know, I mean, they knew they had a moneymaker on their hands anyway, but they're happy enough to where they want to get the ball rolling this early. They've already signed some writers for Thor 3 also, so they're working on the third one for that as well. But that was after the movie came out and made a bunch of money, and I don't know for sure if they're still going after the same director or not. But with this one, they're so happy with the whole package that they're already talking to the Russos about, hey, let's get to work on 3, and let's push forward.
Awesome.
I doubt they'll fully officially sign anything until the movie debuts, just in case.
Right.
But if they're this happy with it going in, I can't imagine I'll be unhappy with it.
I was going to say, that's good news for all
of
us.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good news for all of us.
So,
keep them coming,
yeah.
man.
So excited for Captain America 2.
Oh, man.
If you can't hear it in my voice.
I think it's probably going to be the best movie. It's probably going to be my favorite movie this summer.
Yeah.
I'm just going to call it right now. That's probably going to be the best movie.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yep. I will so put excited. my full vote behind that as well.
All right, so the other big Marvel trailer was released by Sony, which is like this big 3.5 minute long, almost 4 minute long trailer for The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have talked about this a couple times because they've released a few different trailers, and these trailers have sort of been all over the place because, like, I just, you know, like, we already had our discussion about how we felt about the first Amazing Spider-Man and how we were feeling going into the second one, especially after seeing the crazy trailers, because, gosh, that one trailer was just all over the place.
Yeah,
you didn't know
what
was
bananas,
we had
man.
No idea what was going on, yeah. And you know, and they were just showing so many villains, and you're just getting scared. Like, what are they doing? They're yeah. cramming too much into this.
I felt like it was Joel Schumacher presents Amazing Spider-Man yeah. 2 for a few seconds there.
Yeah,
you know?
It was a little scary. Yeah. But this new trailer does a little bit of a better job of kind of fleshing out the story a little bit, and it puts the full focus back on the Electro mm-hmm. character. Which is who we were told from the beginning was the main villain in this movie. Now, we do know at this point that there are other villains and that they are building towards a big Sinister Six storyline. So we're going to see Harry Osborn and we're going to see the Rhino. And there's obviously the teasers for Doc Ock and Vulture and all that other stuff going on there. And I assume Norman's got to come in and play.
Norman's in it. He was yeah. in that original trailer for a few seconds. Yeah.
Okay.
It's Chris Cooper.
I
the bad guy from the Muppet... That first Muppet movie.
Nice.
Well, not the first one, but the one, the Jason Segel
yeah,
one.
The last, yeah, this last one that came out. Cool. So this trailer here is like a full focus back on the Electro character, and we kind of find out that, I guess, he's a character named Max, who's mm-hmm. a bit of a schlub. You know, he's a nobody.
Max Dillon? Is it Max Dillon?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Right, yep. Yeah. And he works for Oscorp.
Yeah.
And we find that out right there.
And he's a big Spider-Man fan.
And he's a big Spider-Man fan. Like, he's one of those poor
like
guys.
A creepy
that,
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Well, he's one of those poor guys that he must not have any friends. Nobody notices him. He's kind of in his own world.
He says that because there's a scene in the trailer where Spider-Man saves him, and he's still got his name badge on. So Spider-Man calls him Max, and he's like, "How do you know my name? Nobody knows my name."
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in Spider-Man, you know, and I love the characterization we're getting out of Spider-Man just from seeing this trailer. And we did talk about that before, that Andrew Garfield is a pretty good Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. We got to see that in the first movie. And as much as I love Tobey Maguire, Garfield kind of gave him the spunk that you expect Peter Parker to have.
Exactly.
And we're seeing more of that out of this trailer, because there's a lot of real goofy Peter Parker moments in this trailer that feels more like Peter. And that scene where he's kind of, you know, talking to Max there, and Max is like, "How do you know my name?" And he's all like, "Ah, you're my eyes and ears in the streets," you know, and he's
fixes
just making
his
him
hair,
making him feel good. Yeah, lick my hand. Then he fixes his hair. I love that. But he's just, you know, making him feel good and everything. And it's a pretty cool scene. Mm-hmm. But that ultimately apparently is going to be what leads to his turn to the dark side, kind of a thing, because they showed, we get to see this whole thing in the trailer.
Yeah,
like,
they show
a origin.
Lot, yeah.
Basically, we get to see Electro's origin.
Like, I feel
trailer.
Like we should be saying spoiler alert,
yeah.
But it's a trailer. It's all in the trailer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we see him have some sort of accident in Oscorp, and he gets electrocuted by a cable and then falls into a tank of electric eels. So it's the double electricity. That's what does it. It's, you know, two different sources. So then he gets all kinds of crazy electric powers. That's how he becomes Electro. And then they show the next scene where Spider-Man's confronting him in New York City, and Spider-Man can't remember his name, so he snaps.
But you know what's funny is he does remember him.
Yeah, he's like
even though he's blue and glowing,
he's like, "You're my eyes and ears, but what's your name?" You know, and he's trying to remember his name because, you know, he saves lots of people all the time, you know, and you can't expect to remember everybody's name, but, you know, Max is hurt by it because he thought they were friends. He's probably a little delusional, you know, so
I'm betting that many eels will drive you a little batty.
So apparently that's what decides to make him a bad guy, and then we just get to see this big montage of a lot of the same kind of stuff we've already seen. We see kind of the Rhino thing a little bit. We see a little bit of the Harry Goblin.
Well, because they show Harry, they show that scene again that I think they showed in the they either showed it in the first trailer or in the international one, where Harry and Peter, you know, you can tell they've got at least some familiarity to them. And Harry's showing him, "Hey, Oscorp's been surveillance on
you. I got
you.
Really cool hair. Look at my hair." But
he shows him the surveillance thing, and then they kind of... They show the scene in this one too, where he walks past the wings and the octopus arms.
Yep.
And I really wish they would show a little more Rhino, but I'm kind of hoping. I'm not generally one to ask for 9 different trailers before a movie comes out because I'd like to see the movie. But they did such a cool job with this trailer and the Electro thing. I'm kind of hoping we get one of those maybe for Rhino and or for Goblin also.
Oh,
maybe smaller versions of
like
them at least.
They don't have
to be 4 minutes apiece.
Right, right.
Give a little setup for the other two.
That would be kind of neat because the big thing at the end of this trailer does say like his villains will unite or something like that. You know, like they're obviously setting up the Sinister Six thing and they're telling you that with this trailer. Mm-hmm.
I'm also half wondering, because we've seen so little of the Rhino. Even Paul Giamatti, we're not seeing in trailers.
I know,
and we're just seeing that foot stomp, and that's pretty much it. And I want to see what that thing looks like, because the images I have seen on those banners and stuff from a few months back look
kind of awful.
Looks stupid.
Yeah, and so I want it to look better than that.
Yes.
But I'm also, it's making me wonder if we're not really going to see Rhino or maybe Goblin until close to the very end.
That's kind of what I'm wondering, too. Yeah. And that's the same thought I had.
Which I'd be totally fine
with. Me too, because if this is supposed to be a setup for that, that's the way it needs to be.
Yeah.
And maybe they shouldn't be giving us all that in the trailer. Yeah. I don't know. But if this whole thing is sort of the downfall of Max into Electro, which kind of culminates in these other villains going, hey, we can help you defeat Spider-Man, and then we start seeing these other guys, I feel like that's the way it needs to go down.
Well, it'll be Norman orchestrating the whole thing for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the other reason that the Harry Goblin isn't, like, that should bother me, but I know that they're building towards something bigger.
They have to be building towards the real Green Goblin.
And I kind of want to see a movie Norman so evil that he'll just destroy his own son just to get that power, you know? Well, and not that the Willem Dafoe one wasn't that evil.
Oh, man, I love the Dafoe Goblin.
Yeah, the Dafoe Goblin was
like,
great.
His costume was silly, but I love the Dafoe Goblin.
But it made sense for what they were going for, you know? Yeah. But that's why I'm totally fine, because I do, and it's what's going to be funny is when this movie and, like, the third Spider-Man come out, and they're both terrible, and Batman versus Superman comes out, it's just amazing, because it's going to be a complete opposite. But I've got, you know, this is the track record I'm going with. I liked the first movie. I liked what they did with it here with The Amazing Spider-Man, so I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. So I see a lot of stuff in this trailer that scares the crap out of me, but I have a sense that they have a plan and are building towards something. I don't know what yet. I don't need to know what yet. I just want to know that they have a plan, and I'll give them the benefit of the doubt until it's stupid. Whereas, transversely, the other movie, I don't feel like they're building towards anything. They're just throwing stuff out there, and so, you know, it's got a lot of potential to be much better, but I don't have a strong base to believe in that. This movie, I felt, the Spider-Man movies, the Sony Spider-Man movies, Sony has always done a good job with Spider-Man. 3 was kind of a train wreck. But
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot of factors of it that were positives. There's a lot of things that could have been worse, and who knows what would have happened if they would have made the 4th like they had talked about for a while. There's no telling. So, yes, a misstep, but not a disaster, you know. And then they bounced right back, in my opinion, very strong in The Amazing Spider-Man. I really like what they're doing here. I do not think they should have done a new origin story.
Nope,
but
that was my biggest problem with
it. But they're setting up their whole new world. They've got a great new Parker. The director's been doing, you know, is a solid body of work, even though it's only 2 movies I know of, but I've really liked them both. They've got a lot of good things going for it. I love this Garfield kid as Parker, and I do not ever want to make it sound like I'm saying a bad thing about Tobey Maguire, because I thought Tobey Maguire was perfect also in those movies for what they were doing. It's the same with, like, if you look at the Heath Ledger Joker and the Nicholson Joker, I think they're both flawless. They're totally different Jokers.
But they're
both
perfect
flawless
for their films.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
I think Tobey was perfect for those Spider-Man movies, but I prefer the witty banter. Like, that's one of the reasons I fell in love with Parker.
Yeah. He needs to be sarcastic.
Because I love that stuff, and I think Garfield brings that perfectly, and I think these movies display that. So even if I get a terrible movie with a really funny Parker, I'm going to walk away thinking I came out with something, you know?
Yeah.
So I really like what they're doing here, and I'm really scared about some of the things I've seen, but I'm going to keep, at worst, cautious optimism about what's coming next. I think they've got a plan, and that's the first step. Hopefully it's a good plan. We'll see.
Awesome. I'm excited now, though. Like, I've been so teetering on how I felt about this movie, only because I was so, you know, mellow about the first one. Like, I didn't hate the first one, but I didn't come out of it feeling excited. And, you know, seeing all the craziness of the first couple trailers of this one, I'm just like, oh, no. Like, I love Spider-Man, and I want to be excited for this, but I do feel a lot better about it after seeing this trailer. So, I'm anxious to see how it is. Yeah. I really hope it's good. I love the costume. The Spider-Man costume looks great in this movie.
Yes.
Like,
it's
the best Spider-Man costume that's ever been on film.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. I mean,
it
looks like a comic book Spider-Man. I love that. And the big eyes, I've always been a big fan of the big eyes. So
I think it's funny that by far and away, my favorite superhero has always been Spider-Man. And the closest thing to a second he's had has been Superman, like my entire life. And technically still today, I'll say that. That's fully honest.
Yeah.
But, man, when you're looking at movies, I'm looking way more forward to Captain America.
I know, right? Yeah. You know? I was having that exact same discussion with Jaren yesterday, our friend Jaren, who was on the last episode. We were having that same discussion because we were both, like, talking about how when we were kids, It was Spider-Man and X-Men were the things that I loved. I loved Spider-Man and X-Men. You know, he was the same. He liked X-Men a lot too. And I didn't really get into a lot of DC stuff. I liked Batman, especially when the animated series came around. I love Batman. But now it's like, here I am getting so excited about things like Captain America and Iron Man, who I never cared about when I was a kid. It's so weird.
And I read some Captain America and I read some Hulk and I didn't read a lot of Iron Man and I didn't read any Thor because come on, you know, but those guys, I mean, a lot of those guys were on my radar.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have put Captain America and Hulk in my B squad easily, but man, movie versions are so far and away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just some of my favorite stuff.
That's man, and like Fantastic Four was another one I really liked as a kid, and I just I know, right? And you're looking at movie stuff for them and it's just like, man,
should we talk about that?
Yeah, we should talk about that. Let's go ahead and do that. I completely forgot about that nonsense. All right, so we talked about a little bit before how there was rumors coming out that I don't remember, was it even officially?
There's nothing concrete on that movie yet, except for the fact that it's happening and production should be starting pretty soon, which makes it even scarier that there's no concrete casting, I think.
So we were hearing that Johnny Storm, they were looking to make Johnny Storm a black guy this time.
Yeah.
And possibly make him and Sue Storm just half-brother and sister. Or I've even seen some places say that both Johnny and Sue might just be black in this movie. Whatever. I'm one of those guys who's just like, I don't care for change for the sake of change.
Exactly.
Like, I have nothing against any of these characters being a different race or a different sex or whatever, but when you're changing it just to go, hey, look what I did to it, I think that's dumb.
Exactly.
I think that's dumb. Which brings us...
If you have a reason, though...
Yeah.
You know, if you make a... bear in mind, if you go make a movie about four black superheroes, I'll go see it in a heartbeat, because I like superhero movies.
Right.
You know? If you have a real good, solid reason to make an established white character black, or an established black character white, or anything like that, then that's fine. Or if it's a small enough character where a lot of people don't necessarily notice anyway, Heimdall, you know, was played by Idris Elba, and a lot of people were upset because he was black. I'm like, you know, Heimdall's a pretty small part of that movie. And Idris Elba was pretty awesome. So
he was awesome. And the other one that I really liked was Michael Clark Duncan as Kingpin.
Exactly.
That worked great. Yeah, and I'm totally fine with that.
It made total sense because who else was going to play Kingpin? Who else was going to embody that?
I thought it was awesome.
It flowed perfectly. Everything was great.
And you know, I'm not even against the idea of I mean, if Johnny and Sue are both black, I think I'd be okay with that.
As long as they're at least still brother and sister.
I think the part that really had me the most confused was they were like, well, we'll just make one black and one white and call them half brother and sister. Like, what's the point in that?
Yeah, exactly.
There's no reason to do that.
Because they keep talking about that Michael B. Jordan kid, who I'm sure is a fine actor, but he's not so fine of an actor that you can't find another guy to play Johnny Storm.
You know?
And that's all there is to it. And to be honest, you talking about it now is the first I've really heard about the concept of making them both.
I've only
African-American characters, I would be happier with that other, because at least they're still brother and sister. But like you said, when they're going, well, we'll cast a black Johnny Storm, that'll be controversial. That sounds stupid. They're supposed to be brother and sister. They'll be half brother and sister. That's even dumber.
Yeah, right? You know? That is dumb.
And they're talking about possibly make... They don't care if they have to change the gender of... Dr. Von Doom, of Dr. Doom.
So now Dr. Doom could potentially be a female.
Which again, and the whole reasoning from my understanding of this is that they're looking for a big name to fill the bad guy slot, because they got a lot of, you know, young guys and nobodies they're talking to. They're looking at a couple of real young Reed Richardses and whatnot, which, you know, we'll see how the movie builds. That's probably fine. But they're saying, well, we want a really big name for Dr. Doom, and we don't necessarily care if it's a man or not. We want a big name. And again, that bothered, because if you have a woman who you go, man, this chick can play so diabolical that we just love her so much, we want to give it a shot, I'll probably still disagree with you, but I'll buy that. If you go, look, we're going to throw a dart at a board with big names on it, and if it hits a chick, it hits chick, I don't like that.
That's the issue.
You know,
is the issue here. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're just saying, hey, we might cast a guy or a girl. Yep. We'll see what works.
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
No, don't give me that. I want to know that you have a solid plan here.
Have a reason other than the name you want to put on your poster.
You remember when Loki was a girl in the comics for a while?
No.
Loki was a woman for a while in the books. Like, just randomly, Loki was just a woman for several years, and then randomly went back to being a guy.
Interesting.
And I think that they, like, there was, when he was back to being a man in the books, like, there was some throw-off, you know, dialogue, and there were somebody said something about, I thought you were a woman, and he just said something like, oh, I'm the god of misdirection, you know, and they just kind of blew it off like that.
Yeah,
you know, but so I mean, it's not like unheard
you can do stuff
of
like that
it's,
with a Loki.
That's true,
you know. Yeah.
But I'm just, it's not unheard of for them to do stuff like this.
Well, it's such a sensitive subject because it's hard to say I don't want to see a black Johnny Storm and not sound racist.
Yeah,
but it's got nothing to do with it, you know.
Yeah,
Ryan, a frequenter of the show, a frequent guest on the show,
yep.
was we were talking. I believe it was right before the Eisenberg thing was announced, and we were just kind of kicking around Lex Luthor's, and he even said, he's like, what about Idris Elba? I'm like, Idris Elba would be amazing as Luthor. He would be fantastic, because he can play such an intimidating, you know, creepy's not the right word, but he can have that factor of, you know, larger than life and menacing,
you know,
but smarter than the room. You know, he could do all of that stuff. I think that'd be a great Luthor.
I always got the impression that the Luthor in the Superman animated series was black, because he was darker skinned. Did you ever watch the animated series?
Yeah.
So I mean, and yeah, I mean that wouldn't bother me either. Yeah. I mean, it's all about, you know, you get the right guy and you've got you get the right person and you know what you're doing with it and you have a reason for doing it and you make it work, then I'm totally fine with it.
Exactly.
When you're saying, it might be a guy or girl, we don't know, we'll see what happens and who's interested.
Yeah. Like they did when they made Jenny Olsen.
Yeah.
Who was nobody and no importance to the movie. Why bother?
Look. You know? I was totally fine with Lawrence Fishburne being Perry White.
Yeah,
no
sure.
problem with that. But Jenny Olsen, just because, oh, you know, Jimmy's a girl now.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
you know?
No. Like, there's a
difference. And
again,
if they had a really cool actor in that role, because the Heimdall thing I don't think was that big of a deal, but they had somebody awesome to play Heimdall, because Idris Elba is amazing, you know?
Yeah,
well, they just got some nobody who did nothing to play Jenny Olsen. So it's like, what?
Who didn't even really have that big of a role in the film. Like, there was no, there was literally no reason for
that. You're doing it just to do it.
Yeah,
you know?
There was no reason for it. I just, that's just always my big thing. Change for the sake of change is pointless. I hate that.
Yep. So we just love awesome actors.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can give us a reason to get behind one, we'll get behind one.
That's right.
But give us
that's
a reason.
You know? So, needless to say, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Fantastic Four.
Were talking about that kid from...
I wish that Marvel would get Fantastic Four back. I would love to see their take.
Kid, they were talking about some heavyset comedian, the kid from... he played Bear Claw in New Girl.
I don't know his name.
Yeah, they were talking about him for the thing at one point.
Really?
I'm like, man, at least they're flat out telling us they're not paying any attention to this movie. Let's make Ben Grimm the comic relief.
Oh my goodness. You know? Yeah, he's supposed to be the muscle.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm scared to death
of
that movie.
At least it's all just rumors at this point.
Yeah, that's
so
true. I mean, they could come out with a bunch of really cool announcements tomorrow.
Maybe they're just trying to trick us.
And again, they're doing off. That thing where Fox is talking about building one world for Fantastic Four and X-Men. And so,
because
that's the properties they own. And everybody's figured out that joining this stuff is the way to go.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens there.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to keep rolling on with probably some complaining about movies.
Why does anybody listen to this show?
I don't know. Yeah.
Are you tired of buying from unreliable sellers on those big online auction sites? How about scouring the internet for that one figure you need, only to find it for 3 times the retail price? If you are, then stop by NerdRageToys.com. We specialize in new and vintage toys and collectibles. We have hundreds of items from popular lines like G.I. Joe, Star Wars, Transformers, Thundercats, He-Man, Ghostbusters, and more. Our items are priced to sell and ready to ship. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or sign up for our weekly newsletter to stay current on all of our site news and updates. Nerd Rage Toys. Stuff for nerds.
All right, guys. Welcome back from the break. We're going to jump right in to some Michael Bay discussion. Are you excited?
Bay.
Michael Bay discussion. We can make it a segment of the show. We need like a theme song or something.
We do.
Bay, Michael
we
Bay.
We do need a theme. Neither of us know music.
I know. No, we don't.
So we'll just say Bay a lot. Bay. Right. Hey, I dig Michael Bay.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good, because this will be a good conversation. So, Transformers Age of Extinction.
I didn't say I swear by him.
Transformers Age of Extinction is the next Michael Bay Transformers film coming out. It's technically the fourth Transformers film, but I don't actually know what's going on with it, because I remember them saying that it's basically a reboot, but not really a reboot.
It's not a reboot. It's just a sequel with a different cast.
Yeah, so it doesn't... I don't think it really has anything to do... Well, because, like...
Well, chronologically, it still flows forward from 1, 2, and 3.
But, like... Okay.
It just doesn't have Shia in it anymore. Who, by the way, just as an aside, is a hot mess now.
Yeah, what happened to him?
What happened to that kid?
I was really excited about that kid, like, several years ago.
Yeah,
and
like,
now,
right before Crystal Skull, he was so down to earth, and he was staying out of trouble, and he was making a big... I mean, wasn't even making a big deal, but if they asked him about partying... I remember when that kid was turning 21, and they were asking him about if he was going to go out to a big party, and he was like, I don't really do that whole thing that much. I'm trying to keep a clean nose, you know? And they said something about, like, well, everybody does something when they're 21. And he goes, no, because not everybody's in Indiana Jones movies. And I want to, you know, like, you know, I want to, you know, Harrison Ford and Steven Spielberg, I want to not jerk around with these guys. You know,
right,
I want
to
take it seriously. And then flash forward, you know, 5 or 6 short years later, however long it's been, and that kid is a disaster.
I know, right?
He just showed up to whatever film festival they're at wearing a bag over his head that said, I am not famous.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, did you see, because he, like, he retired from the business or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like,
because he stole some guy's movie.
Because he stole a movie.
Yeah, what? Called out for it. Yeah. Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, what a low hand.
Yeah. So, did you say what a low hand?
Yeah. I feel bad. I thought that kid was different. I guess it gets to him. I mean, it's hard to stay away from.
I guess.
I don't know.
So,
I don't get it.
So, but okay, refresh my memory. Didn't they, like, kill Megatron in the third movie?
Yeah, but they killed him in the first movie, too.
Okay, I guess that's
true. Know,
so there's a reason. Because he looks fine. And then, I remember he was all scarred up and everything in the third one. And then,
well, maybe this is Galvatron.
And then Optimus Prime murdered him
Maybe this is Galvatron. Because it looked like he was turning into a cannon in that movie, too.
That's true.
Not a handgun. It looked like a cannon.
I guess it could be Galvatron. Okay, so let's talk about that real quick. The trailer. There's a very short teaser
trailer
that came out for the Super Bowl. That's basically just a bunch of flashes of things moving really fast.
They want to make sure you know that there are Transformers, there are Dinobots, and there's Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, and that's pretty much all you get out of the trailer. They look to me, they look exactly the same as they did in all the other Bay films.
Though, in fairness, I can't tell most of them apart anyway.
It's tough. And
Like, I like these movies. Well, I like two of these movies, not the second one so much.
But I
can't, you know, like, they get into the action sequences, and my brain just kind of can't keep up. So it just goes, cool stuff's happening.
Yeah. So many things.
Yeah.
Things explosion everywhere. Things. I probably don't even have to bring this up at this point for anybody that's been following me for a long time. But just to be clear, I've never been a Transformers guy, ever. I never had them as a kid.
Just so weird.
And
you're
I think
such an 80s toy.
Yeah,
guy.
And that's the
and they
thing.
Were like the 80s toy to an extent.
And they were apparently the 80s toy that I didn't have because they were. I just and
well,
I
there's
think,
a lot of things that were the 80s toy, but they're one of them.
That's
you know?
True.
I mean, G.I. Joe was the 80s
you're
toy.
Right.
And He-Man was the 80s
you're
toy.
Right.
And Transformers was the 80s toy.
I would,
and you love 2 out of 3. You know?
I would consider. Yeah, I would consider Transformers probably one of the big four.
Yeah.
Being like He-Man, G.I. Joe, Transformers, and Star Wars.
Yeah.
Those are like big four action figure lines from that era.
Yeah.
And I never had Transformers, and I think part of the fact...
They're so neat.
Part of the fact that I didn't have them as a kid, and I have no nostalgic connection to them, I think that's what has kept me from getting into them, really. You know, I just don't have that appeal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I never watched the cartoon, really. Like, I watched the cartoon movie for the first time with you one time while we were living together.
Yep.
That was the first time I'd ever seen it. And I think
How good
we,
was that?
I think we watched it before going and seeing the movie, the Michael Bay movie, in the theater.
Which I do remember because I think I was scared to show you that movie because I didn't have a whole lot of high hopes for the Transformers movie, the Michael Bay one. So I remember going, man, I'm going to show you this movie and it's going to be awesome. And
then we're going to go
see,
Michael
a pile
Bay.
Of garbage in the theater. But I ended up I love the first Transformers. It was one of those movie, and part of it was probably the low expectations I had.
Right.
But I remember sitting down going, man, this movie's not... Well, plus that was the movie where I defeated Paramount because I worked at the theater, and that was the first movie they ever sent us locked. And I guess I'm
probably clear to go ahead and admit this on a podcast yeah. 6 or 7 years later. But I sat there with that padlock, which was a 3 or 4 digit code, and I went one by one until I opened the darn thing. So I could put that movie together and watch it early.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, it turned out to be only a couple of hundred in, thankfully.
Yeah.
But I just remember such a feeling of gratification when I got it, because they were locking it so you couldn't, but you know, again, I'm going to get into an aside and try to keep it fairly short. When they used to be 35 millimeter prints in movie theaters, there was a reason you watched them early. There was a reason you put them together early, because there was a good chance that they were going to send you a damaged print, an out-of-order print. I mean, it didn't happen a lot, but it happened. So you got a big movie that's open on 4 or 5 screens, and all of a sudden you play it for the first, you know, midnight crowd, and there's giant scratches the whole way through, or one of the reels is on backwards or doubled up. Like, that's a bad, that's a big deal. That's right. bad, and it makes right. everybody look stupid. So the whole point is get it watched early, make sure it flows through fine, and then play it for actual customers. Well, the more pirating that happens, the more the studios go, well, we don't want you to play it through early. And the more you go, well, then we're going to look like idiots when we screw this up, and it's going to be your fault, you know? So I was upset by that, so I opened the darn thing, and I watched it. And I remember sitting there watching it going, I feel really good about watching this movie right now. I feel like I've won this battle. And if it's a halfway decent movie, I'll be a winner. And it was one of those movies where I just did not, like, it was a spectacle the whole time. It started off kind of slow. There was some proper build. Again, back in the day, I still liked Shia LaBeouf, so I was excited to see him in that movie. He was funny. The jokes were good. They had a proper build up towards getting to the robots. Once they got to the robots, they had the proper amount of comic relief and action. John Turturro was great. It was a really fun, thoroughly enjoyable movie all the way through. You can look back on it now with jaded eyes if you hated 2 and 3, but at the time,
I think that's
when it was
what
the
happened.
Only one,
I
it was
think
great.
That's I think that's what happened. And I do want to say too, like, I think it was awesome hearing like Peter Cullen do Optimus Prime.
Yes. Yep.
Like, because that, I mean, that's just really cool hearing the original Optimus Prime voice in a movie, like seeing him in live action like that. And I did like the, you know, the animated one. And when I saw that first one in theater for the first time, I really enjoyed it. Now, again, I was somebody who didn't really have a lot of knowledge of the Transformers universe, but we were in a packed theater because we saw it on opening night. I assume I was sitting with a ton of Transformers fans.
Yeah.
When the movie got over, it was one of those movies where the entire theater started clapping because they were really excited for it. And I remember sitting there with everybody around me clapping and looking at you and saying, I want this for He-Man. I want this reaction. I want this kind of movie. I want to see this happen for my favorite property. And here we are all these years later, and that still hasn't happened and probably never will.
It will.
I don't know. And I'm scared, honestly, but we'll get into that a little
later. Well, yeah, I should specify the movie will happen. I don't know if the quality will.
But so I did. I enjoyed the first movie fine. Now, if we want to talk about, like, the designs and everything of the characters, I do feel like Michael Bay's renditions of the Transformers are a little too busy. I do like the more simplistic designs of the toys and the old cartoon and everything. I like those designs better, just from an aesthetics point of view. I don't know. Like, then the second one came out. I didn't really care for the second one all that much, you know.
You know what's funny is I watched 2 the first time, and it was a weird, I don't know, I don't know why I was so excited because I liked the first one so much that I watched 2 and went, that was amazing. And then I went and watched 2 again like a week later and I went, oh, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
And then I think I watched it again when it came out on DVD and I'm like, man, this movie's not good.
I kind of did the same thing with that one. And I think that's where a lot of, like, it got real goofy too, because like the first one had some kind of potty humor and stuff in it, you know, like Bumblebee peed.
Yeah.
And that was unnecessary.
Yeah, it didn't ruin the movie, but it was overkill.
It was overkill, you know. And then, like, the second one, we had, like,
all of it was overkill.
It was all overkill. Yeah. Gosh.
The racist ice cream robots.
Yeah, which a lot of people had a problem with.
Devastator's balls.
Devastator had balls for no reason. Why? Yeah. Why do you do stuff like that?
Way over the line.
And I think that is really what started getting people going,
and it
moved, like I said,
when I first watched it, I'm like, what a normal length, good, fun movie. And then I watch it a second time, I'm like, I feel like I've been here for 6 hours and we're not even to the desert yet.
Yeah, I didn't care for it. So that it was one of those ones where I kind of felt like the first one stood on its own, and I kind of wish they wouldn't anything else after it. And maybe people wouldn't feel the way they do about these movies now, because now it seems like not everybody, but a majority of that fan base seems like they have turned on those movies. Yeah. Now, those movies continued to make a ton of money.
I tell you, a lot of that's the internet, though.
And you're, absolutely.
Because the angriest people are the loudest people.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But, yeah, but they sell a ton of tickets, you know. And that's the thing. That's the other thing, too, is they sell a ton of tickets to people who come on and complain about how much they hate it. And, guys, as long as they're making $1 billion a movie, they're not going to change their formula.
Yeah, exactly.
So don't get on the internet and complain about how much you hate it. Stop paying $11 to go see it. If you want a different version of Transformers, stop giving them money for the one you don't like.
Now, the third one, I also didn't really care for, but you liked the third
one. Yeah, I did a lot. I've watched it multiple times to make sure that I did. And I didn't like it like I liked the first one, but I did enjoy it.
And I don't know if maybe it's just because I went into it kind of like, I didn't really like the second one. I didn't really have an interest in seeing the third one. I only went and saw the third one because my wife wanted to see it. Like, she literally drugged me to the theater because she wanted to watch it. Because she loves all those movies.
Yeah.
That's the only Transformers, that's her only exposure to Transformers is those movies.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And, you know, that honestly, that's how a lot of kids are.
Oh,
and that's
absolutely.
Why those movies are so... That's why they made so much money off them toys, is because that's the Transformers to kids.
Yeah, that's the ones they know.
You know, and... But I went into it, and, you know, I think one of my biggest problems with the third one was how ultra-violent Optimus Prime came across. Especially, you know, like that scene where he's just... He went nuts, and he just murdered Megatron. Murdered it. Like, just destroyed him. And I have a real problem with that. Like, the hero shouldn't be like that. I just... You know, we had that same discussion with Superman.
Yeah.
And I think I
have the separation there, though. I mean, they're robots.
And they treat them
like people, so maybe I'm wrong in feeling this way, but I also feel like...
And I think that's why they felt it was okay.
Yeah.
The robots are not real people. It's fine. He can just slice people up and stab them and stuff. And I'm just like I don't know. Like if they make a movie of He-Man and I have to watch He-Man murder Skeletor, I'm going to be upset.
Yeah.
Like, he should not do that.
For sure.
Should not do that,
for
you know?
Sure. And you're probably... You know, honestly, I just never thought about that. That way at the end of it. And maybe that's my bad. Now that you're saying it, it's kind of making me want to go watch it again and see how I feel because of how much dislike stuff like that.
That part of the movie is where I really checked out.
Because
when he was doing that, I was like, no, 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 Optimus, don't do that. You're good. Don't kill all of them. Find another way. I don't know. It's just, that was my big problem with it. But yeah, a lot of people, it just really seems like people are... Like, you always see people, they call them Bayformers now, you know, like there's the Transformers and then there's the Bayformers.
Yeah.
And that's the way people refer to those movies. So now there's another one coming out. It was supposed to end after the third one, but they made a bunch of money again. So why wouldn't they? You know, Hasbro wants to sell a bunch more toys.
And this is supposed to be the beginning of another trilogy as far as I know. And I don't know that Bay's supposed to do all three of them. I think from what I heard years ago when they were starting production and whatnot, or planning at least, I think he was going to do a fourth one to get it rolling and then kind of move on to some other stuff because really that's most of what he's done for the last like 6 years or 8 years or however long it's been.
Right.
It's been nothing but Transformers. 07 when it came out? 07 or 08?
I think that sounds about right. Probably 07.
So the last 6 or 7 years he's been doing, you know, I mean, he's done some smaller projects here and there, but he's mostly just done a lot of Transformers.
Right.
So it's time for him to get back to doing some awesome Bruce Willis movies or something. So they're going to get the ball rolling on a third one, and then they're going to pass it off. But I'm sure he'll be a big producer on all the
probably,
next ones that come through.
Probably.
And it'll probably have a lot of flavor of him, no matter who is actually directing. And he'll probably get a lot of the flack for what happens, just like with
what we're going to talk
about
next.
Another property.
That's right. So I have been waiting to talk about this for some time. And I have talked about this in the past on other podcasts briefly, because... of some of the early stuff that leaked out about this film. But I want to now talk about the upcoming Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. I am a huge Ninja Turtles fan, if you don't already know. If you follow me, you probably know that. But if I had to rate like my favorite childhood properties, He-Man would be first, Turtles would be a very close second. I was a huge Turtles kid, and like that's how kind of my childhood went. Like, I transitioned straight from He-Man into Turtles because right as the one was winding down,
the other one was picking up steam,
and it was just like a perfect transition for me. Like, I went right from He-Man into Turtles, and I loved it.
And I can follow you along right there. I mean, I haven't kept up with it as much necessarily, but I had a lot of He-Man toys, and I'm not sure that I didn't have every turtle figure that came out for the first, I don't know how many waves. I mean,
yeah.
I was all over those, all the variants and all you know, the fun little characters. I loved that cartoon, like it was nobody's business, those movies. I vividly remember the first time going to see that first movie in theaters. It was at our local theater in the mall. That used to exist.
Yes, that's where I saw it too.
Yeah, and
yeah.
I even remember running down the center aisle and tripping and falling and kind of rolling, you know, a couple of feet and then getting up and getting into my seat, just being so
like
excited.
Cowabunga!
I remember the, is it FHE home video
yes.
release
yes.
with that
yes.
Pizza
yes.
Hut commercial?
Yes,
at the beginning?
Everybody remembers
I
that.
Play right field. It's important, you know. The whole deal, man. I love that.
Oh
stuff,
my God.
You know?
Amazing. Man, yeah, dude, I love it. And I still love that first Turtles movie.
Absolutely.
I feel like to this day that movie holds up just
yep.
fine. And it's got, that movie has got so many comic book elements to it. It's a little darker and grittier than that cartoon was. So
but
I feel
not
like,
in an inappropriate
but
way.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
you know? And that's the other thing we should briefly mention too. There have been so many iterations of the Ninja Turtles.
They
like,
started off uber violent.
They started off very violent and very dark and gritty in the comic books.
Yeah.
And then when they decided to take that ultra violent property and go, let's make a kid's show out of it. Suddenly that's when it got popular.
Yeah.
You know, they made this goofy, funny kids cartoon. Out
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, they didn't like pizza in the original comics.
No.
They just liked murder.
Yes, yes, exactly. So there is definitely various fan bases of the Turtles. You got the guys that love the original comics, the guys that like the original cartoon, and it's one of those properties that has never really gone away.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's been really good about reinventing itself every
yeah.
5
yeah.
years or so
yeah.
and then it comes
seriously,
back.
Seriously, it's been like 4 rebirths and they've all been good.
All except for the next mutation.
Well, that wasn't a rebirth. That was a
let's make them like Power Rangers and
yeah.
add a girl for no reason.
Yeah, that
oh,
was kind of
so
like
bad.
that was a last grasp for air at the time
that,
when they were first
when,
winding
yes,
down.
Yes, it was. But I've enjoyed like I enjoyed
that,
the original series.
Was it 02?
The 03 series.
03?
Oh,
man,
it was
so good.
The 4 Kids tune. It was so good.
Do you remember that TMNT?
That movie was great.
Yeah, that movie was fantastic.
Man, that movie is so underrated, too.
Yeah.
Like, nobody remembers that one.
And didn't it kind of play like a sequel to
the original
to
movies?
The original movies?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the end of the movie had that trophy case, and it had, like, stuff on it from the other movies.
Yep. Yep.
Like
yep.
the lantern from Turtles 3 that
yep.
they used to teleport. And,
yep.
Yeah, like, it was a sequel to those.
And that was a
those.
Very good movie.
Loved it.
Yeah.
And,
so
solid. And so now we're at the era of Nickelodeon's run on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Which I still haven't seen.
They bought the property from Peter Laird, who was one of the two original creators. Nickelodeon bought the property. And I remember at first everybody was like, oh, because it was the first time ever that Laird didn't own the property.
Yeah.
But
well,
Nickelodeon
did sell it.
Eastman is actually, well, like, Eastman had been off, I don't know what happened with Laird and Eastman, but they had separated at some point, and Laird just owned it for all those years, and now that Nickelodeon owns it, Eastman is working with Nickelodeon on the
awesome.
Property. Yeah, so he's been doing a lot of
he's
work.
He's working on that movie, too.
He's been doing work on, like the IDW comic book series has been so good, because it's sort of like... The comic book that IDW is producing is absolutely the love letter to us old school fans, because it's a great comic book universe that has nods to the old stuff, the old comic stuff, the old cartoons, and they're making it very serious and really good. And then you've got the Nickelodeon cartoon series, which is like aimed at the kids, but it's amazing. Like it's... I've already said it on here before, but I feel like it is the ultimate Ninja Turtles cartoon, because it's... They found a way to make kids love it now, but there's also so much in there for us adults to love, too, especially the longtime fans. I mean, they're throwing us all kinds of cool nods and everything to the original show, and it's just, I feel like it's so well made. Nickelodeon is doing amazing with this property. And like, it's so good that the cartoon's like been picked up for 4 seasons already, and
nice.
It's only in season 2 right
wow.
now. Like, after the first season, they were just like, 3 more seasons, have them, you know?
Awesome.
Like, that's how
awesome.
Good the show's
yeah,
doing.
I gotta get into that.
And the toys continue to be, like, the highest-selling boy toys line again, which is amazing, because it's really cool,
you
like...
You can't find those things.
No,
like,
you can't.
I don't even buy that many toys.
You
and,
can't.
I just kind of want
to
see them.
Go to
and
the...
anytime I go to try to look for them, I'm like, nah, nope.
And it's 2 Christmases in a row that the turtle section of the Toy Alice has just been blank, because... you can't keep them in stock at Christmas time.
How much is a turtle figure nowadays?
They're actually some of the cheaper stuff that's out there. They run about $8 a figure, and that's cheap for an action figure.
Yeah,
that's
only about double what they used to be when I was a kid. Quintuple.
Yeah, like a lot
of things are.
So it's just been really, really successful, and it's been really exciting, and I've been just enjoying every bit of it. But they announced probably a good year or so ago that they were definitely going forward with a new live-action movie. And then I think things started getting a little scary because they said, Michael Bay is involved, and everybody went, uh-oh. Because everybody's already in that Transformers mode, and then they announced that Bay is going to have something to do with the turtles. So now everybody's like, "Oh no, he's going to kill our turtles."
Then a whole bunch of garbage came
out. Oh my gosh!
How much of that is still
true. Yep. So then the script leaked, apparent script where like Shredder wasn't Shredder; he was General Shredder, and the foot soldiers were just some military squad that worked for him. And the Ninja Turtles weren't going to be mutants; they were going to be aliens from another planet that was full of like beings just like them. Oh my god. Like, I remember reading all that and just getting mad. I was like, no. Like, you remember how much I hate change for the sake of change? Yeah. That's the ultimate you could do right there.
Yep.
Don't mess with, like, why would you mess with that origin story?
Oh, yeah.
All of the versions of Turtles that have been out all these years have always kept that origin story pretty much intact. Like, there's been slight variations here and there. You know, sometimes Shredder's a human, sometimes he's a rat, whatever. You can do that. You can tweak it a little bit, but the important part is there's mutagen, there's turtles, the mutagen makes them mutate.
Yep.
That's it. Yep. That, you have to have that.
Exactly.
Have to have
exactly.
that.
Exactly. If you don't have a chemical spill of some kind, where do you get Daredevil?
Exactly. Exactly. You know that the turtles are kind of a nod to the whole Daredevil storyline, right?
Well, that's what I was bringing up.
Yeah, because
there's that one of those popular fan theories or whatever that the same spill that made Matt Murdock blind was the chemical spill that led to the ooze.
Also, it's the hand in Daredevil and the foot in Ninja Turtles. That's awesome. So,
but yeah, I mean, like you were saying, like, why? I mean, you've already got a perfect origin story that stood the test of time, 5 or 6 iterations minimum, if not more than that. You know, why in the world would you make them aliens of all things?
Right,
like,
right.
What is the point of doing that?
So I got pretty mad at that point because I was just like, man, they're gonna ruin everything, and I was so mad. And I'm one of those guys who really tries to be optimistic about this stuff, but it does get a little hard when it's a property that you really love.
Yeah.
And especially when you start reading stuff like that, you're just like, no, don't do that. Well, the entire internet had a meltdown when that Oh, my gosh. Like, it got to the point where the studios had to do damage control. They had to. Like, Michael Bay ended up coming out and saying, never mind, they're not aliens. Like, they totally recanted every bit of that. There was a bunch of stuff saying that the script was being thrown out, that they brought in new people to write a new script. And then things got a little quiet after that. Yeah. Like, it just calmed down.
Well, in Eastman
came out. Eastman
said a couple times, guys, I know what we're talking about, and everything the movie's doing is good.
Yes. And
so, that makes you go, okay, Kevin.
Yeah.
I guess we'll believe you, but...
Right. Like, you want to believe Eastman, right? And then they started trying to calm you down, too, by saying things like, look, he didn't mean... Michael Bay just said it wrong. He didn't mean they're aliens. Like, you know, because the ooze is of an alien nature, which is true. It's from Dimension X or whatever.
Yeah.
So if they're sticking with something like that... Cool. I don't want to find out that there's an entire plane of turtles, though.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that happen.
Yeah.
These guys need to be unique. There needs to be 4 of them, and then maybe you do Slash somewhere down the line as your 5th turtle. Whatever. But they need to be unique. I don't want to see a whole race of turtle beings.
And I don't mind other things being mutated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, that's the point of this whole thing. But there doesn't need to be an entire race of turtles in another dimension.
Or other mutant animals or any of that
stuff.
No.
That's a big no-no. So that's going to bring us to what's been happening within this past month here, because the thing that's been a little scary about this whole Turtles thing, other than the fact that we heard all that real scary stuff, and then it got real quiet after all that scary stuff came out.
Well, you know, to put a bridge in there, too, though, as soon as it quieted down and things started to sort of normalize and they kind of got past the alien thing and people stopped talking about it, well, then they started doing the casting, which most of it I'm... indifferent towards.
I totally forgot to bring that up.
Yeah, and then they're like, well,
we're going to have Megan Fox play April O'Neil.
Yep. And that,
it's like, what? Okay, time out. This is a Michael Bay movie.
Yep.
Remember when she got fired for calling him a Nazi?
Yeah.
Why in the world did those two reconcile?
I know.
And why did you reconcile to bring her back to this movie? She's not even popular anymore. She's never been that good of an
actress. And
she's
the only thing I could
attractive at best, but there's a million attractive girls who are actually redheaded and decent at acting.
Right. Yeah, I know, right? And the only thing I could think about was like, great, I can't wait to see all the slow motion April running scenes, the, you know, catch up with the turtles.
Yeah.
Wait for me.
Yeah.
Go run, you know, because there are all those ridiculous scenes in Transformers.
Yeah, and again, it just feels like stunt casting.
Yeah, it's just
like what's the point?
I don't need that in my Turtles movie.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I forgot even about that. Yeah.
Like I said, I don't know Megan Fox. Maybe she's a very nice girl, but she comes off as very vapid in most of her
what's
movies.
The
and
other
April O'Neil is a smart character, you know.
Exactly. The other casting thing I hate is Shredder. Who is it that's playing Shredder? Can you remember his name?
I thought it was I just had his name on my mind.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
William
Fichtner.
William Fichtner. Okay.
I love Fichtner.
That's fine. Shredder should be Japanese. His name is Oroko Saki.
Okay, fair point.
And I think that I feel like they're going with the General Shredder thing.
Yeah, fair
I
point.
Feel like they're going because they just straight up were like, okay, here's this American white guy.
Fair point.
He's Oroko Saki.
Hey, Kevin Nash did it.
Kevin Nash, well, he was a Super Shredder. I hope he shows up as a Super Shredder
in
the
new
one. I'd be okay with that.
All right, yeah, you're right. Fair point. It should be Japanese.
All right, so The thing that really started kind of making me nervous, too, is the fact that this movie comes out next year. That's the release date. It's like next summer.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen anything on this movie
at all.
Has it
come out in 14 or 15?
14, right? It's
this summer.
It's this year that this movie comes out. I don't know what I'm thinking. Yes, it's this year. It's this year that this movie comes out, and we haven't seen anything yet. There hasn't been a teaser trailer. There hasn't been a movie poster. We haven't seen any designs of these characters, nothing. It's been like dead silent. And then out of nowhere, within this past week, all these images started getting leaked everywhere. The first thing that we saw, the first leak, came from a costume company that's doing kids' costumes for the new movie that is supposedly of the Michelangelo costume that they're going to be making for kids to wear. That was the first look we got at the new Turtles. And right away, like I put this up on my site at pixel-dan.com. If you haven't seen it yet, you can go there and look it up and find it. Even though this is like a silly kid's costume, it's like one of those cheap looking body suits that he's wearing and a plastic mask over his face. There's a lot of really weird things going on with this costume. For instance, it looks like he's wearing pants, first of all.
Yeah.
He's got like a hoodie tied around his waist. He's got a big old silver necklace around his neck. He's got some sunglasses hanging off the necklace.
Which can't possibly fit on his head.
Yeah. He has a tattoo on his left bicep.
Is that for sure?
Tattoo on his left bicep.
I can't tell if that's actually a tattoo or what that is.
I don't know. It looks like a tattoo to me. And the face, I don't know. The face looks fine, except it's got a nose and lips. And the nose and lips are a little weird.
Yeah, I don't think the face looks fine at all. I think the face is what throws up warning flags for me.
Well,
because it does look...
He looks like Shrek.
Yeah, it looks. Yeah, exactly.
He looks like
bizarrely
Shrek.
Humanoid, but not.
Yeah, he's got a nose and lips, and that's really weird. But I tried to be real optimistic. I was like, look, this is a kid's costume.
Yeah,
maybe
this
is not what we should be basing our opinion on.
Yeah, you ever seen a Batman kid's costume that looked cool?
Right, exactly.
Or any kid's costume that looked cool?
So then, like, within a week, all of a sudden we started getting actual images of the models of the characters for the film. Now, they're going to be CGI'd.
Yeah.
But there's like actual models that they've got done up of what the characters are going to look like. And we got to look at pretty much all four turtles. Not good looks. The best look we got is of Leonardo. Every one of them are wearing different outfits here. And they got the clothes thing going on for some reason. So that's one of the things I feel like just like with the Transformers, I feel like these guys are too busy.
Yes.
There's too much going on with these guys. Like Leonardo.
It's not a death nail, but it's bothersome.
Yeah, exactly. Leonardo's got like bamboo armor on and he's wearing pants and he's got tape all over him and shoulder pads and all kinds of crazy stuff going on there. I gotta see. Yeah, the other pictures that we've seen, like Donatello's got like some tech gear, it looks like, stuck to the back of his shell of some sort, and he's wearing all sorts of technical gear. He looks like he's wearing some sort of full body suit. Yeah, also
some kind of goggles or something.
Yeah, goggles on top of his head, like he's a Ghostbuster.
Yeah.
Raphael looks like the Incredible Hulk. He is huge. Yeah. He's just like he towers over the other guys. He looks like this big hulking mass.
He's wearing one of those full head. He's got one of those
full head masks like a Next Mutation, which that's brings back shades of that show. Yeah, why is he so big?
I don't know. No, it's just a character model.
Just a character model.
The, like, the forefront of that picture, kind of, so yeah, maybe they all are that size and they just don't look.
So,
I don't know, just a lot. Like, I saw those pictures and I'm like, man, that is way better than my worst nightmares.
That's not,
but it is way worse than my greatest hopes.
Exactly. That's the other thing I wanted to say. Now, I did see those pictures and I looked at them and I didn't immediately get mad. Like, I saw them and I went, ugh, those aren't great, but at least I don't hate them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, maybe this could work.
Yeah.
Maybe these will be okay. Maybe they'll be fine. I still don't know how I feel about the weird lips and the nostrils.
I don't know. I had that worst case scenario image in my head where I went, oh, this is going to look awful no matter what. And then I saw that picture and I went, well, I can still hold out judgment. I can't say I like it, but I can wait until I see it in action, you know? Once I see an actual trailer, I see how it looks next to other people, each other, the actual character models, maybe them talking, something like that. Once I see all that stuff, then we'll know. But until then, the best I can hope for is, you know, it's like you said, I don't hate them.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That's kind of how I am too. And then right after those turtles got revealed, we also got a reveal of Shredder. Now, Shredder looks cool.
Yeah, Shredder looks awesome.
He looks cool. Yeah. You look at him, instantly like recognizable as Shredder. Now, he might be a little overboard with the blades. There are blades everywhere on this guy. Yeah. Like, they're on his shoulders, they're on his arms.
Still too busy.
Little too busy, but he looks like Shredder. So that's cool. At least he's not just some general running around in an army suit or whatever. Maybe he's still going to be General Shredder, but at least at some point, he's going to look like Shredder.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that design. I can live with that.
Yeah, I like that quite a bit. I'm more than fine with it. I enjoy that. Other than a little too busy.
It's a little busy. And I don't know, man. I don't know if that's just like a... That's just where we are with movies these days. Like these types of action movies.
It is a Bay thing.
It is a Bay thing.
It is a Bay. You know, and I say, I enjoy Bay, but I don't swear by Bay. He's got some idiosyncrasies that are just, you know, there's always just so much going on. It's like it's like a 12-year-old with ADD is making all the decisions, you know. And sometimes that's awesome.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's just a lot where a little would do. Who was one of the turtles pictures we were looking at when me and you were going, you know, I don't know that I hate that. And we talked to Jaren again, and Jaren's like, well, I do.
Yeah.
And he's the one who said, you know what it looks like? Is it looks like one of the old variant figures.
Exactly.
You know, where they're like, hey, look, it's Streetball Michelangelo or whatever. He's got tennis shoes and some sort of exercise pants and a big old smile. And, you know, where's the other accessories? Where's the basketball or the skateboard?
And that's exactly what they feel.
Yeah,
like.
That's
the perfect way to describe him.
Exactly. And that's what it made me go, well, I didn't hate it a minute ago, and now I'm starting to hate it because you're right. And if those were side figures that came out in the line, I wouldn't care a bit. But I don't want that to be the official look.
I know, yeah. So that's actually going to be a great transition to the next thing. Because it's so funny how all this happened in a week span. Like, these pictures just started leaking.
Well, it seemed like every day we had a new 20 email string going, you know?
So then an image leaked of the upcoming action figures from Playmates. We only get to see three of them in the shot: Raphael, Donatello, and Michelangelo. And this probably gives us our most clear look at them so far, because they're bright, big pictures of these action figures, and you can see their outfits that they're wearing. And I will be perfectly honest. I look at the action figures, and I don't hate them. They look like cool action figures. Now, cool action figures. That's different than a cool look for the turtles.
Yeah.
I will buy these.
Yep.
I will put them in my collection. They will stand just fine alongside all the other crazy turtle variants I have on my shelf. They will look just like those.
Bear in mind what he's saying is in a line that traditionally has a ton of variants, these figures look okay. But, like, we're also saying, as the main figures, they're a little disappointing.
Yes.
You know, if this is what the Turtles officially look like, this is the official normal one. I mean, Donatello has the Ghostbusters goggles, like you said, and then it looks like he's wearing a scarf or an afghan.
He's got
the things coming down off of his mask, I think, but they're kind of draped over the front of him, and he looks like Freddy from Scooby-Doo.
God. And Raphael is so big.
He's pretty big.
Raphael's my favorite turtle.
Donatello's mine.
He's just this big... Okay, I understand he's supposed to be, like, the badass of the team, but does that really mean you have to make him, like, this gigantic thug of a turtle?
Yeah.
Like,
you know, I always thought of Raphael as the one with the short man complex. I think he should probably be smaller than
the other
ones. That makes
sense. Kind of like Wolverine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Man, I just... what the heck is going on with Raph? He's so big.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll see.
And the Michelangelo, look, dude, Michelangelo's wearing tennis shoes with his toes bursting out of the front.
Exactly.
I'm like, what is going on?
Raphael's
there?
All taped up like he's in jiu-jitsu class or something.
Only
and
on one of his
what
legs.
What are those boots that, I mean, Donatello's just dressed like Egon.
He's Egon.
I mean, seriously.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Like, I really, really. Yeah.
We want it to be good and
we want it to be good. Yeah.
And we don't hate it yet, but we're not happy.
Now, the best news about this entire thing is that I still have the Nickelodeon Teenage Ninja Turtle series, which is not going to stop. It's not going to stop. Those toys are not going to stop. We still have the IDW comic book series, which is probably going to keep going. So it's almost like this is just some extra Turtles on top of all that. And if I don't like it, I can just turn my focus to the stuff I do like, and at least I still have something out there,
you
know?
It's just scary because the main stuff like this, the mainstream judgment of it goes to the movies.
That's true.
You know,
That's true.
There's a billion people you work with that do the water cooler talk that don't watch Nickelodeon.
They're all going to talk about this.
Yeah, they're going to talk about this movie.
Yep, you're right.
Know?
You're right.
Every opinion that comes through about what Turtle properties are happening right now is going to be about the movie.
Yep.
And all of the toys that you see scattered all over the shelves are going to start to be movie toys. And the other ones will still exist, and hopefully they'll still fly off the shelves. And if these are terrible, which I don't know if they are, like I said, they might be cool toys even if it's a bad movie.
Yeah, I think the toys look cool.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, I think the sculpts and everything look great on these toys.
Yeah.
So from a toy standpoint, cool toys.
Yep. But if they turn out to not be cool and they're the ones who are completely left on the shelves while the other ones are still selling out, well, on the one hand, that'll kind of be good from a business aspect. On the other hand, that'll be all people keep seeing. When they go to Walmart, they'll be like, well, look at all these toys.
Right.
You know, when kids ask for cool turtle toys, they'll get these by accident because grandma doesn't know the difference.
Right.
You know?
I guess I should point out, too, I probably should have mentioned this before, but these pictures, you'll have to look for them online. I can't post them because I actually was asked not to post them, and I'm going to honor the wishes of Playmates and these other companies because they emailed me and said, hey, pictures are leaking. Don't post these.
Are we allowed to talk about them?
I feel bad. No, I think talking about them is fine, I can't tell you guys, like, I can't post them on my site or anything. So just search for them. You'll find them. I should have brought that up to begin with because people are probably like going, well, I want to see them.
I didn't even know. I feel like I'm going to get sued now.
Yeah, no, we won't get in
Thanks,
trouble.
Thanks, Pixel Dan.
I think talking about them is fine. I think they just don't want these images. And actually, like, most places that have posted them by now have already pulled them because Paramount and Playmates both have come out and said no. Now, the good news is, which this might completely negate that anyway, when this episode goes live, I'm actually going to be in New York City to cover New York Toy Fair, where Playmates will be officially unveiling these figures.
Oh, okay.
So I will have video coverage and interviews and all kinds of stuff on these toys.
So by the time you hear this episode, ignore everything Dan said in the last
45
seconds and just go to his website and see all the videos and pictures.
Within a day or so, you will get to see these pictures. So there you go. That's a good thing. Make sure you guys are following me on YouTube at youtube.com/Mandalorian30 or do a search for Pixel Dan. Or visit pixel-dan.com because I'll have lots of video footage, lots of interviews and good stuff from New York Toy Fair. And we'll get to get really good looks at all these guys because I'm going to get great video shots and I'm going to ask them lots of questions. Trust me. I'm going to grill them on these toys.
Cause and I want texts.
I want to know what the heck is going on.
Yeah. I want immediate updates.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So is there anything else big to bring up or should we just go into plugging a couple of future episodes and call it a day?
I think that's a good place to stop. So I just really... I really hope good things for Turtles.
Yeah, but, I hope everything we've talked about, even the stuff I've complained about, I hope goes well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You That's know? The thing. Yeah.
We only gripe because we love this stuff so much that we want it absolutely. To be done right.
We use this podcast to kind of get all that out of our system so that hopefully we can be like nice and level-headed and enjoy this stuff when it comes out.
Exactly. So, we don't want to be just the guys who are just butthurt all the time.
Right, you know? Right, right.
But I think we keep it objective. I hope so, anyways. I do my best. What we got coming up in the future, we've begun Community, so we can podcast about that anytime now.
Yep.
We've got in our, I believe our March 30th episode probably will end up being the Veronica Mars one.
Yes.
Because Ryan will be back in town, I believe, that week, I think he wants in on the Veronica Mars one.
I really hope I can get through this in time before that movie, but we've been cranking through it pretty good.
Yeah, like,
I
mean, you hammered out a season almost immediately.
Yeah, Christine and I are almost all the way through season one. Yeah. I really enjoy that show.
Yeah, it got real good real fast.
I had no idea what that show was ever about. Yep. I always heard about it, knew nothing about it, and I am hooked on it now.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
And so does Christina.
Yeah, like, Christy, my wife, and I are behind on almost all of our normal watching shows.
Yes.
Because every time we sit down, it's like, and even her, and she's real big on, you know, keeping the DVR or whatever clear and making sure we're caught up on as best we can be on the four or five or six shows or whatever it is we watch. And even her, every time we sit down, she's like, all right, some more Veronica Mars. You know, she's a bed at 11 type girl usually, especially because she's very, very pregnant right now. So especially now she's more tired and she's still up to anywhere between 11:45 and 12:30 most
amazing.
Nights because we want to get that extra episode out. I mean, it's a real solid, fun show.
Christina's been going to bed about 9 every night right now because of the newborn in the house. But the last several nights, she's stayed up till midnight with me because you watch an episode and I'm like, you want to do another one? Mm-hmm. She's like, yep. We just keep watching. And
season one ended strong. Season two's begun.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah. Because I'm four episodes away from the end of season one, and it's like, I can't wait. It's so much fun.
So we're catching up. We're almost there to that point. So we should be, by the time March 30th rolls around, or slightly before then, we'll have seen all of the episodes and the movie.
Sweet.
We're excited.
I know some other stuff I'd like to talk about, too. Like, the new RoboCop film comes out this week, so at some point we're going to have to see RoboCop and watch it.
Oh, we didn't talk about how much we loved Lego.
Man, we've got to talk about the Lego
movie.
Yeah,
we'll talk about Lego.
You guys, hopefully you've seen it. Go see the Lego movie.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Our quick review is go watch it.
Everything is awesome.
And that way, when we talk about it, you'll be able to enjoy it with us.
Absolutely. Cool. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, once again, I want to remind you all that I am in New York covering New York Toy Fair. So there's going to be lots of video footage of all the new stuff coming out from Hasbro and Mattel and Playmates and NECA and all that stuff. I would love it if you guys followed my coverage. I'm going to do my best to get lots of interviews and good stuff this year. So just find me on YouTube. Do a search for Pixel Dan. Like I said, hit that subscribe button. That way you'll always get a new video every time it's uploaded. It'll let you know. And you can also find everything I'm doing at pixel-dan.com. And follow me on Twitter, @PixelDan. I'll also be live tweeting from the event. So it's going to be a lot of stuff going on this next week here.
That's right. And I will be at home, far away from New York, waiting for text updates about some of these things from the toy show.
Yeah.
So if you want to follow me on Twitter, @JLeonard31, you can go ahead and ask me if Dan has updated me in any way that he hasn't updated the rest of Twitter, and I'll let you know then.
I'll start funneling all my tweets through you. You do the updates. That'll
be the closest thing to news I can get you until we do another podcast. But
awesome.
Yeah. So follow me. Follow Dan. Watch all of his stuff. It's all very good stuff.
Hey, keep listening
to the show.
Oh, yeah. And I guess I want to go ahead and throw this out there, too, while everybody's listening. I surpassed 50,000 subscribers today on YouTube.
Awesome.
And I feel like that's a huge milestone.
That's terrific.
So I need to offer thanks to everybody who is watching my stuff, because that's incredible. I never would have thought I'd gotten this high. So thank you guys very much. I really, really appreciate your support. And I'm so glad that you're enjoying all this stuff. Because it's a lot of hard work. So it's always nice to know that people actually enjoy what I'm doing.
This dude does this 24/7, it feels like. Like, bear in mind, he's got a day job.
Yeah. It's...
You know, and he provides for his family quite nicely. And he does all of this as what should be a hobby. And he just does a really great job doing it. Not to just blow a bunch of sunshine up your skirt or anything like that.
I appreciate it, though. Thanks.
We've all been proud of you for a long time, Pixel Dan.
Aw, thanks, Jim. All right, so we'll end the show with everybody kissing my butt. So until next time, I'm Pixel Dan.
And I'm Jonathan Leonard.
We'll see you guys right here in the Geek Easy.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of The Geek Easy Podcast.